Welcome to Horror and More with Anya Gore. I am your horror mistress, Anya. And today I have a very special guest. This is Eric, who is also known as the Lo-Fi Horror Guy. Hi, Eric.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on. This is awesome.
This is great. Yeah, I'm a big fan of your show. And I like what you do. So talk about what you do.
So I first and foremost, I'm a collector. I love horror films. I love music. And for the longest time, I've just always had DVDs. I've always had Blu-rays. And there was a page on Instagram called Plutonian Shore that I followed. And I started noticing that he would, like, you know, post different props and different, you know, like, things horror movie related, and I'm like, oh shit, you know, like, maybe I could kind of, you know, get into doing something like that. And so I conjured up the idea of the Lo-Fi Horror Guy and started, you know, posting some different things. And then further into it, really, it was kind of the idea of being interested in, you know, all the people that were there and trying to come up with a way of, like, it not being awkward of just like, hi, can you and I talk, like, one-on-one about, like, where you got into your interests and just shit like that, you know, so it's not like so, you know, just random. And I was like, well, maybe I could start out and, you know, do like an interview thing and people could tell their story and, you know, we could kind of talk about, you know, our similarities and differences and, you know, and the fun with that. And so, yeah, it just started out with me reaching out to a couple of people, and then it really turned into people that I never imagined, you know, would have even, like, gotten back to me, much less, you know, responded, you know, to where I was like, holy shit, I guess, you know, maybe I could do this. And so, yeah, it's been like 4 years now. It'll be this year I've been doing the interviews for the show.
That's awesome. Yeah, you've got some big names on there.
Thanks. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's, but I mean, you know, kind of like you were saying, you know, beforehand here, it is a lot of work. I mean, it's, you know, you have a full-time job, and I've got a family, I've got kids, I've got a band, you know, so it's just kind of one of those things where it's like, there's a lot of times where I might not get episodes posted on my YouTube as fast as I would like, but I think the most important thing for me is doing the research, and not asking the same shit that people hear over and over, and maybe digging into maybe smaller details of things that I pick up on, and, you know, things that I kind of see myself as a fan, or, you know, somebody who's just interested in something, and kind of digging into stuff from there.
Well, it's awesome. Anybody listening, you want to go check out what Lo-Fi does, because you're just wildly entertaining. And you always have this big smile on your face, and it's like contagious. You can't be in a bad mood and then start watching one of your episodes and continue that bad mood.
I appreciate that. That's awesome. I think it's just one of those things where life is good. You know, there's a lot of shit to bitch about, and there's a lot of bad things that are going on, and it's not to say that, you know, life has been perfect, you know, my whole life, but I think, you know, being another reason to, you know, put out pessimism and hatred and all the evil things in life, you know, there's a lot of good stuff out there, and trying to be, you know, another ingredient in, you know, just everybody having a little bit of maybe even a better day, just having a good time.
Well, you've succeeded so far, so thank you for that.
Thanks.
And I'm glad we connected, because I'm a big horror snob, and I hate to admit that, but it's a reality. I'm trying so hard to be more open, but, like, I find that you don't seem like you're a horror snob. You seem very open to discussions, and that's awesome. And I need to be more around people that are open, because I'm one of those people that's like, oh, you like Malignant? No, you're wrong. That was bad. That shouldn't be the case.
Oh man. Yeah. You know, I don't know really, like, I don't know if it was just from early on, and, you know, seeing movies like the Godzilla movies, and you know, some of the stuff that was just earlier, really cheesy stop motion, you know, to where I think maybe even, like, film in general just kind of transferred into not having to be overly serious about it. And I think that's even with like music too. There's a lot of things that, you know, a lot of my friends are like hardcore or punk, you know, snobs, and they're like, "Oh, well, I can't like this because of da 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 da." And I'm just like, "Dude, it just fucking rocks. Like, it makes my head bang, and like I have a good time with it, you know? Like, maybe it's not necessarily like the coolest thing, or but even in school, you know, like I think that's to say too, like with like me and my friends, like we were friends with everybody. Like, we were cool with nerds, and we were cool with jocks, and we were cool with, you know, like, as long as you weren't, you know, a piece of shit and somebody who is, you know, dragging people down or mean or, you know, a bully or anything like that, like we just, you know, sincerely wanted to have a good time. But the funny thing with them is like they were all very much snobs in anything. Metal, music, horror movies, like, so I was always kind of the one where I always felt like I was almost like an apologist, but I didn't see that in my eyes, you know. I was just like, "No, this rocks. Like, I love it." "Oh, this is stupid," you know, or you know, like somebody talking about Malignant, I'm like, "I loved it. I don't see how you didn't." But I appreciate it, and I appreciate, you know, people having you know, that passion, and you know, just the differing outlooks, you know, for sure.
Totally. Well, this is the great thing about this horror community is even though you do have the various people and the various extremes of people like you that are very open, and then people like me that are ridiculous horror snobs, we can have those discussions without it being an actual argument or a life-changing event, right? And that's why I love this community, because even though I cannot grasp why people liked Malignant, I can understand why people did. I know that's a weird thing to say, but like I don't see the value in it, but I can understand how people could, I guess, if that makes any
Okay.
sense, which is kind of a neat segue into what we're going to talk about today.
Sure.
So, I tasked us with finding terribly reviewed, really low reviewed horror movies. And we watched them and we had some criteria to go through and find, could we find some redeeming things in these insanely low reviewed movies?
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
I chose one, you chose two. So why don't we start with, let's see here, why don't we start with fear.com?
Sure. I would have to say, this movie I've never seen, which I guess that like even more so excited me, because I remember seeing the cover. I remember, you know, it just for whatever reason wasn't something that ever like popped out at me. But my mother-in-law actually is the one who always tells me the story about going down to Alabama for some reason with my wife, and they had rented it at like a local video shop there. And she, like, my mother-in-law is just like, "It's just so scary, and there's just so many things about it that like suck with me after the fact." And I'm like, "Really? Like that movie of all things?" So I mean, and to get into it, like I'm just I'll have to, you know, kind of completely break the whole thing and say, like, I thought this was surprisingly solid for as low as a score as it had. And maybe it was just me, like, you know, thinking like I was going into it and this is going to be an absolute like toe tag production. I thought it was great.
Well, I'm glad you picked this one because, like you, I hadn't seen it either.
What
And,
did you think?
well, so I'll premise it by saying Rotten Tomatoes gave it 3%. IMDb gave it 3.4 out of 10.
Insane.
I went into this same as you. I remember seeing the artwork for it. And it has Stephen Dorff in it. So I don't know actually why I never watched it because he's awesome in Blade. Like he's a solid actor.
Yeah, for sure.
So out of all of my pages of notes, this one has very few. I tried really hard, and these are the notes that I put about sort of that my first question, which was, you know, what redeeming things did you find in it? So I said Stephen Dorff's acting was fine. It was 2002 when this came out, so I can understand that they tried to embrace the technology element in horror.
Yeah, okay.
So
I can see it.
I appreciated that thought process.
So, like, when I was first watching it, I had twice that I had watched it, and my thing was like, off the bat, it just made me feel like I was back to watching the remake of House on Haunted Hill again, and I love that movie, love it. Absolutely love that movie. And people shit on that. That's another one. I think it has like a 5 point something on IMDb, which is insane to me. And then come to find out, William Malone fucking directed this movie too.
Same guy, yeah.
Same director. And I'm like, holy shit. So then I kind of go back and I'm looking into everything. And then I look up the fact that he's from Lansing, Michigan, which that's like the east side of the state. But same, you know, so I'm like, high five, dude. You know what you're doing. This shit rocks.
What I can say is watching this movie would have had a different feeling, I think, if we had watched it when it came out versus now.
You think so?
I
I
do.
don't know. Like,
Well, because the thing is, back then, you know, this is a 20-year-old film. So back then, you didn't have very many horror movies that really got into the internet and horror, right? There was, what, 8mm, which I enjoyed. But what, the Ring might have come out around then, but that wasn't even internet. That was, well, it was video.
Video. Yeah,
Yeah.
right. It's a similar thing, though. Yeah, for sure.
So I think if we had watched it without seeing the kind of horror technology-laden movies now, there might have been a different, it might have resonated with us in a different way. But
I almost wonder just with like, 'cause for whatever reason, that time of movies like the earlier 2000s stuff, and I mean, I guess it even transfers into like the French extreme horror stuff. But like the remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and the remake of The Hills Have Eyes, and you know, just some of the things that were coming out like around those like earlier 2000 years, like for as shitty as a lot of those movies were, or for as bad as a lot of them were. I had a lot of fun with them, and I think The Haunting, maybe that was like 99 or so, but even like right around that realm, like movies were just really entertained me, and I think now that I'm thinking up, like thinking back to it and thinking out loud, there was probably three times terrible, you know, the amount of terrible horror out there as there was anything that was like actually decent. So something coming out that was decent, it was like, oh, thank God, you know.
It's
Kind
true. I guess
of
my
a rough
biggest
time.
issue with this movie, I had three issues with it that I just could not get past.
Okay.
The editing, the it a lot of the time the voice work didn't work. Like there was a lot of delay, so you could tell that they went back and they did a lot of the voiceover stuff and it just didn't align. And to me, that kind of removed me a little bit from it. So I do wish they had plopped a little bit more funds into the editing process.
Yeah, the ADR, that was something, you know, where I wasn't even like really that like post, you know, like a voiceover or anything like that. That was something that I did notice as well, and had like a couple of things down where it almost seemed like there was like a line of dialogue, and then there was another one, and then the other, like the second half of it was like really loud and almost taken out of space. It was like, whoa, what the hell just happened here? Like, if I can get like in front of a window that it reflected the sound back too loud, or what? I don't know, you know. So it was a little off-putting at times, yeah. So, what else aside from that?
The writing. It was a good concept, but the actual script itself I found very trying at times, especially Stephen Rea's character. I feel like what that character represented and the dialogue he had didn't really fit for me. I felt the idea of what that character actually was doing was very twisted and deep, and the lines he was saying were not very deep. So
Yeah. actions not, you know, living up to the words, so to speak, as far as anything he had to say. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, the idea behind all of this, so you've got, like, a supernatural element mixed in with, and I'm going to say spoiler alert now for anybody listening.
Sure.
You've got a serial killer. You've got that suspenseful part of it, and then you've got a ghost that's haunting the internet and having people come back and try to find her body and try to get revenge on him, and you know, like, it's a neat concept, but I felt it just wasn't executed properly, and I think because of the writing.
There was small, like, shortcomings, like, for instance, toward the end, my dude, you know, injects that poor lady with whatever the fuck is in her neck that instantaneously, you know, just has her drowsy, like, damn near out, you know, she's about to get tied up to the board and all this, and then, you know, my man Steven Dorff gets shot, and it's like 5 seconds later, all of a sudden, she's like, coming to the aid of him, the girl that had, like, the injected, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you were just sleeping.
It jumped a lot.
Yeah, what just happened here? Like, just, I don't know if it was, you know, maybe, like, adrenaline from her friend getting shot, and, you know, a newly acquainted lover. I've never been in the situation, so I can't really, I can't speak for the situation, but I don't think scientifically that's how it would happen. but maybe, fun, you know, nonetheless, yeah.
Maybe, who knows? Maybe she was pretending to be drowsy.
Just to get tied up and fucking tortured? Or
maybe, what? Maybe she felt like, I'm not going to get out of this, so if I pretend, I don't know. I'm reaching here.
Yeah, for sure. I thought Jeffrey Combs was cool. I always liked seeing him and stuff, and I had no idea that he had done anything, you know, past Bride of Reanimator, you know, other than, like, later 2000 stuff. So I thought that was cool seeing him. The intro, I think that was, well, not intro, but, like, the introduction to the movie, you know, the first sequence where you have the guy and he's, you know, walking along the train tracks there. And, you know, I think that whole sequence really, like, kind of pulled me in, like, oh, shit, I don't know what it is that's going on. But just the feel, the aesthetic, the look. I was telling my wife, actually, because we were sitting and watching, you know, part of it together, and I was just like, I don't know what it is, but I feel like I'm already going to love this movie and I don't know anything about it. And I'm very surprised by that. I can't say loved. I mean, there was, I think the third act, really after, for whatever reason, they made each other promise that they wouldn't go on to fear.com. And then it's like 0.2 seconds later, this motherfucker's on the internet on fear.com. I'm like, what is happening? Like, have you never kept a fucking promise in your life? Jesus, this is insane. So, I mean, that's a bad start to a relationship, I would say.
Yeah, where's the trust there? Where's the trust?
Yeah. So, and then she's on it, like, I don't know, seconds later after. So I'm just like, man, there's a lot of distrust going on. And interesting to see where it would go from there. But no, I mean, there was, you know, I don't think as far as, like, because you'd mentioned the rating being that low, I don't honestly think that it deserves to be as low as it was. A 3 is pretty steep. I mean, especially when you're going out of 10, like, I think of, I don't know, there's some movies out there. I'm like looking at my shelf right now. There's movies that exist, like Frankie and His Pals, which is some freaky deaky ass movie about Frankenstein and the Wolfman, you know, and, like, I don't know how those movies have gotten made and they have, like, a 5 or a 6 out of 10, but then this actually has, like, a decent production value and, you know, some pretty decent, you know, actors in it. And I thought the acting was pretty well. I didn't think that there was, you know, like, a whole lot of times, even, you know, the sequence where he's getting brought into the back of the ambulance and I can't remember what he's saying, like, don't go on the site or something, you know, like, something that's almost, like, kind of corny, and you could see somebody really fumbling that and, like, fucking that up. Like, it was still decent, you know, it's still kind of, you know, believable. So yeah, I mean, there was, you know, certain things that took me out of it, other aspects, you know, that kind of pulled me, you know, right back in. At one point, Rammstein has a song that's in this, and I'm like, okay, now I'm fully invested. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was kind of hesitant, and then they had a Rammstein song in there, which is very like early 2000s to just have some random ass metal song, you know, like
Totally.
Roadrunner Records, like just jumbled in there, and I'm like, fuck yeah. Now, that's gonna change for another movie that we talk about the soundtrack, which drove me criminally fucking insane. But yeah, we'll get to that a little
Ooh, I have a feeling I know which one you're talking about.
bit.
So then your kind of takeaway is that this movie should have been higher rated.
Absolutely. I went online actually right after, and all there is a DVD copy. There's VHS and DVD. Like, I would love to have a Blu-ray of this. I would love to have it on my shelf, to be honest. I'm kind of embarrassed that like it's taken me this long to watch. But I love that, you know, we're doing something like this to be able to dig it in. So
100%,
I thought
I
it was sweet.
agree.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool, honestly.
I will say
Let's see.
I think it got the low rating, I bet, because it was Stephen Dorff, so people went into it having high expectations.
Oh, okay. All
And
right.
so
See, and
because of
like,
that, it was lower. That's what I think.
and I know some of his stuff too. Like, I mean, I guess like as far as like the early 2000s and even the mid 2000s, like horror wasn't really ever like considered, and still kind of isn't considered like the greatest of like film, you know, as far as people coming into and wanting to rate or wanting to, you know, give a positive effect, unless it has some huge name like you know, you have like the Black Phone with God, what's his name?
Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke, you know, like some bigger names like that where all of a sudden people are like, oh shit, like this is really artistically driven, and it's like, motherfucker, no. If that lead dude was changed out with some dork, like you would have said this movie was shit just because his ass
Totally.
is in it.
Totally.
I'm just thinking about it too. I'm sorry, I'm swearing so much, I should probably stop. I
Don't
apologize.
stop. No. Don't stop. I'm a swearer. Don't
I'm
worry.
like halfway through this and I'm like, oh my God, this is embarrassing. I apologize.
No. All good. I do want to then leap into, though. I can't wait to hear this discussion. I'm assuming your hatred of the music was for House of the Dead.
Oh my God. This movie. Okay, had you seen this before?
Yeah, I knew what I was getting us into.
Oh my
So for
dude.
everybody listening, this was my choice, because I've seen this before, and this movie is actually what prompted me to want to have this discussion with you, because this is by far one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. But people sometimes seem to have love for it, and I was like, okay, I really want to see. I want to see if I can find some redeeming qualities in this movie.
You know, I mean, this is where I know that I have a conscience because, like, for any time anybody ever tells me that I'm like an apologist or like I'm, you know, just too kind for movies, I see something like this and I'm like, I do not fucking like this does not click with me. Like,
Had you seen it
I
before?
no.
You're
This is another first for me. So I was like,
like, fuck you, Anya.
you
You
know
made me sit through
what?
this.
It was so I can say like there's it's not everything about it, you know, that I can I'm going to shit on it. Like there's not, you know, it's not everything to it, you know. For instance, like, so the director Yu Bull, I actually saw a movie before called Stoic. Have you ever seen that?
No, but I'm familiar
Do you know
with
what it
his
is?
work. I don't.
Oh, dude, it's got Edward Furlong, and it's disgusting. It's just it takes place in this prison cell. Four prisoners who are going through like a card game gambling. This one prisoner ends up owing a huge debt, and it just kind of really spirals downhill into this whole like situation that unfolds after. And it's based on a true story, and it's fucking disgusting. And that was kind of like my understanding of this director, to where like I've heard that he has like some more, you know, kind of like extreme things, and you know, so like touches on some aspects of life or, you know, stories that, you know, maybe other people don't want to touch on. I don't know. I guess I'm not familiar with House of the Dead as a video game, so I don't know like if the techno music is fucking like on point. I don't know if the fucking continuous transition sequence of the helicopter shot over the boat has anything to do with the game. Like, I'm counting fucking 8 or 9 times that this happened, and I'm like, why do we keep on getting this shot of this transition in between shit of just, like, in the sky flying over a fucking boat that's, like, driving past? Like, what is happening here?
You know what? I imagine that probably was. They did that all in once in one take, and then they just sprinkled it in. Did you know that there was 32 video clips from the game in this movie? 32.
Another thing where I was like, I am getting to a point where I would just rather see the video game playthrough.
100%.
than the kid. Like, it was almost like a tease of like, well, okay, this is cool, and I want to keep on seeing this. And I felt like there were certain times where when they were attacking the zombies, like, it was kind of cool to where it would almost try to be like a mirror image of like a video game, you know, to where maybe the zombie looked a little bit like what the game shot was, and then his like head would explode just like in the game. Or, so I could dig, you know, some of that stuff. The continuous use of the 360 fucking Matrix shot drove me insane. Like, I don't know if that was like a new technology that my man had gotten just for this movie, and he was like, we are going to utilize it because I paid a lot of money.
You know how they did it?
How?
They put it on a record player and it spins around. And apparently this was one of the last, they used to do that. And apparently this is one of the last films to do it because it's actually close to the actors and it's dangerous. It can actually apparently like spin off and hit them.
Whoa, dude. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to re-edit out that part because that's fucking absolutely sick. but I guess watching it initially kind of drove me nuts, but.
Oh, it drove me nuts.
I love the behind the scenes of how they actually got that done. That's awesome.
Isn't that cool? Yeah, it's very low budget, but effective. Dig
it. Yeah, makes it better. We have Clint Howard. God, I could give him a big hug anytime I see him. And sadly, spoiler alert, he dies right away. I don't know who made this choice. Terrible choice.
Well, they probably couldn't afford him for more than that. Yeah, like 30 seconds.
No, I love Clint and anything that he does. So, yeah, shout out to Clint Howard for being on this interesting sequence of events.
Totally. What I felt was really interesting about this movie, and I watched it when it came out, so I haven't seen it in 20 years. It was filmed in my hometown, and it has a cameo of a local rock star named Biff Naked in it, which I thought that was kind of cool.
Oh, really? Damn. Now, where was this filmed?
I'm in Vancouver, BC. In Canada.
Oh, no shit. Okay, wow. Damn. Okay.
And that actually, rules. Fear.com was filmed here, too. So, two of the three terrible reviewed movies that we're talking about were filmed in my hometown. Yay!
Wow. Yeah. No kidding. That's awesome. So, I mean, so who is this? Is this dude?
It's a like girl. She.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It all good. She was in one of the rave sequences. I think she was DJing. She's got black hair, and it was a very small cameo, but she was really big at the time that this came out. So I also imagine that they gave her money to be in it.
That rules. That's awesome. I love any time that they have like a production like that, and then, you know, they utilize, you know, resources from local too, and not everything is just like, there's something that's being filmed. Actually, there's a movie called Holland, Michigan, that is like a city, as a place, you know, in Holland. And I guess like the majority of the movie is filmed in like Alabama or something. So it's like, okay, that's interesting. You know, it seems like if it's going to be about this and set here, you know, they would film it here. But I, you know, I'm not a filmmaker, so I guess I don't know all these things. But
okay, so go wherever it's cheapest.
yeah, that's true. I mean, so. Within the techno, within the DJ, within all of these things, does that have anything to do with the video game? Or was this just like a plot placement thing?
You know, I don't know. Because I've only played this game. So as far as I know, this game was one of the ones that was in arcades. Maybe you could take it home and play it, but my recollection of the sounds in this game were mostly just of zombies and gunshots. So I don't recall any particular music, but they did write the script being about a rave. So that's sort of, I think, how they brought it in. The music was absolutely unlistenable. I don't know who the fuck they had do this score, but it was so, so bad.
I just kind of wondered too, because at one point it was in the back of my mind where I'm like, well, maybe they wrote the script around the fact of that they were going to have this rave, and so they wanted all of the music to be kind of like inspired by your such. And then I just started like falling into this rabbit hole of like, wait, like, why would they write a whole script around this fucking music that has no fit whatsoever? What the fuck is going on? like, at one point, they're just like, okay, I guess let's just get it out and have it be whatever. But, I mean, talk about something completely, like, taking me out of being in at certain points. Like, there were certain points where it was really cool, and there was, like, a tunnel sequence where they were, you know, like, fighting, and they were like shooting off like the zombies and shit, and they had like all the weapons, and you know, but then it's just like this like fucking Matrix music that's playing, and just I don't know, like the 80s or 90s, you know, workout tapes with the onesies and neon colors, and I'm just like, I don't see this like fitting whatsoever. I can say the practical effects were very sick. There was a lot of heads exploding and shots, and you know, there was different things, you know, there where I could say, you know, bumped it up a little bit more for me as far as a rating.
I agree with you. I thought, even though there were definitely cheesy zombies, I liked the visuals that they went with them. And they also had differing types of zombies, right? Like that main guy looked different than some of the newly formed zombies, and then some of the ones that had been there for a long time had different looks to them too. So I did appreciate that thought process, and that they, you know, had these various looks to them. I thought that was a redeeming thing.
Yeah. I wondered, because I agree, and I thought that it was cool that they had like, you know, whether it was in water or it was on land, there was definitely like some different looks. But I was trying to go back and look, and I didn't get to watch it again because I was watching the others. But I felt like there was one particular fella that they had like almost just on repeat, like at all times during this fucking shoot, however long it was like, okay, you just have to be in this fucking outfit just in case we didn't get that right, and we got to boot your ass in the fucking chest again, you know? Like, it just seemed like it was the same dude. Like, any close-up that would come that was, like, a shot, or that was, you know, somebody beaning him over the head with a fucking a tree branch or something, it seemed like it was this fella. And I could be wrong,
guy.
But...
Was it the guy that would jump a lot? He would jump really high? Like
had, like, a flannel on, and I'm just like, Jesus, like, this guy's killing it. I hope he got a raise. I could be wrong. I hope I'm not.
One thing I did find out, which was in the redeeming quality or redeeming category for me, though now I'm really pulling at things here, was that so they went through actually really a shitty time to film this. So they were dealing with rain and freezing water temperatures. And then there was a burn injury to the main guy, Jonathan Cherry, on the second day of shooting. Then a bullet smashed the middle of a camera lens.
Whoa.
But apparently they loved the look of it, so they left it in the film. So I guess I can't remember it, but there's a scene where it looks like a bullet's coming right into the lens, and that was actually a mistake.
Oh, my God.
So knowing that they kind of went through all of that was like, okay, kudos to you guys for following this through.
Yeah, sure. I wasn't trying to be sarcastic and saying, you know, I was just thinking of the effect of like, it's hard though, because sometimes, you know, it's almost doing, you know, a disservice by like putting in that much fucking work, and then looking, you know, like at the finished thing and just being like, yo, this still sucks. Like, what the fuck do we need to do? Like, this needs to be like, we need to, you know, I guess there's time crunches and there's, you know, monetary issues with things. I mean, so, it's tough, man. I couldn't imagine. I mean, I'm pretty anal when it comes out to like music and trying to, you know, have something, but even there, you know, you have so many times where you're doing a take of the same drum track and you're just like, fuck, I don't care. Take the worst one that I did and fucking put it on the record. I, at this point, I don't care.
You're like, I'm over it.
This is stupid. Yeah, the song sucks. I don't care.
Well, apparently, the screenwriter has said that his version of the screenplay was trashed and rewritten, and what you see on screen is not his.
Whoa.
So somebody there was making these decisions to,
so, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then even then, you know, I mean, like, maybe he starts seeing these things and he's, like, telling, you know, the guy who was doing the score, who had, like, a brilliant, you know, like, fucking Midsummer type score, and he's mm-hmm. like, just throw some techno over this shit, because they completely trashed my fucking script, so
why not? Throw, yeah.
Yeah, let's just ruin this whole thing.
Can you imagine?
Politics.
It's how awful. So what do you think they could have done for this movie to make it better?
I mean, for it, you know, like, I guess I think of the premise of it, the idea of, you know, it being like a bigger festival, it being something that's kind of fun. You know, somebody mentions like maybe this whole folklore of like, hey, there's this island out here and this haunted house, and like, yeah, we should just kind of, you know, if they went, you know, more with that and there was actually something in the house that, you know, started turning, I guess the premise is like, I don't know, as far as like the video game, you know, what actually ties into how all of this shit happened. Obviously at the end they have this long cut of like, you know, the city, and it's like, but is this the end or just the beginning? You know, it's like, motherfucker, this was the end when it started, dude. Like, sorry, but I thought that there was a really cool, like, this would be an idea where I feel like I kind of touch on every once in a while in like interviews with like remakes, and something that had like a great premise or something that had like a really cool idea, and sadly was not followed through with. And I think they're if they went back and like went and did something, I mean, they could certainly make something cool out of this. Just kind of tough. And I would say get Clint Howard in there again. Have him reprise the role. Killed it.
He should have become a zombie. I don't know why he didn't.
He did, didn't he?
I can't remember. Yeah, I don't remember seeing him for very much.
Yeah, I think later in the movie he ends up coming back as a zombie and he gets shot in the chest.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot about that.
He's got on the yellow raincoat.
Yellow raincoat.
Just leave him be. My good buddy Clint. God damn it.
You know what? I wish with this movie, I feel like they didn't embrace the what could have been the comedy part of it as much as they should have. If you're going to be doing this kind of movie, you know, yeah, embrace this crazy, over-the-top, exaggerated, ridiculous idea. And I really feel like they missed that opportunity. They were trying to be too serious at times. You know, the whole action sequence at the end where suddenly everybody knows how to fight zombies. There's a girl that's a raver and she's doing high kicks and killing zombies. Like, it would have been better if they had embraced it completely and been like kind of tongue in cheek about it, but they weren't.
Yeah, there was, you know, and it's probably the same moment that you're talking about too, where I almost, and I've never seen Shaun of the Dead, but I almost like wondered if they had gone, you know, that route mm-hmm. and had there been a little bit more humor to it, or had there been a little bit more of like a slapsticky aspect, you know, purposely so, if that might have like headwayed, you know, that whole style before Shaun of the Dead was even a thing. But
I agree with you, because Shaun of the Dead is awesome. Didn't. You need to watch it, by the way.
I know, I hear that a lot. My wife says it a lot, too. There's this weird thing with horror where, like, Hereditary, for instance, was a movie that I just heard so much about it, and for the longest time, like, I just kind of missed the initial wave, so I'm like, I'm just not gonna watch it.
Yeah.
When you... And then finally I got it and I was like, holy shit, I've got a tattoo now.
Do
I,
you?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I've sold my soul to it.
Oh, interesting. That's one of my favorite movies too.
Love it. Love yeah, it. Yeah, so I'll have to good. Check out Shaun of the Dead.
But I know what you mean. I put that in a snobbery kind of attitude. Like, I have the same where if a whole bunch of people are telling me I'm going to like something or if I'm not going to like it, then I'm like, no. No, I don't want to listen to you anymore. I want to do the opposite of what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, that seems about right. It's funny because just before this, earlier today was in my band thread. We were going back and forth about a particular band, and I was just like, I'm not like in love with this new style of such and such. And my one buddy, he's just like, no, that's because you don't like good music. And this shit fucking rocks and it rule. And I'm like, okay, dude. And it's funny because like I love embracing those times because then I'll just be like, you know what, you're right, man. And I appreciate your thought and what you think on these things, as opposed to getting pissed. Mm-hmm. And it generally pisses off people even more so.
I can imagine.
I love your take on it, man. You keep on saying that this rocks when it sucks. Fuck you. Oh,
that's funny.
Anyway, sorry.
That's funny.
Off kilter, but yeah, oh, so I
no problem.
I would say this. What did it have? Like a 2.4.
This rating was 3% on Rotten Tomatoes and 2.1 out of 10 on IMDb.
2.1. Oh my god. I don't think I would say a 2.1. I mean, like when you're going with especially out of 10 stars, like I think Letterboxd says 5, and that helps me out a little bit, you know, when I'm trying to like rate something just because of like my OCD and fucking ADHD and going back and forth. I'm just like, 10 points is a lot, you know, but giving it 2, I don't think, even basing it off of, you know, versus other film that have been made in history, I don't think 2 points out of 10 is fair. Maybe like 3 or 4, but 2 is like, golly, that's pretty harsh.
That's pretty harsh. Yeah. Yeah. I'll go with the Rotten Tomatoes score on that one. Sure. 3%.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. I can dig it.
And then lastly, and this is the one that I know you and I are going to have very differing opinions on. Is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre from 2022.
Awesome. So sick.
So, you mentioned you liked this one.
I loved it. Okay. Like, L-O-V-E-D. Loved it.
I am on the direct opposite. I did not love... There is nothing about this movie that I loved. But in essence of doing this episode, I wrote down some things that I could consider redeeming.
Like the whole movie, or...?
Well, so we could talk about it. So Rotten Tomatoes gives us 31%, so not as bad as the other ones. Obviously 3% is very, very low.
Harsh, yeah.
But the audience score on this one was lower. It's 25%, which I find very interesting that the critics like this one better than the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wild. Okay.
So I can tell you some redeeming things that I pulled from it. Mm-hmm. The lighting was good.
Okay. Oh boy, this is gonna get messy.
I give them kudos. The aesthetic was accurate.
Okay.
The acting with some of the actors was fine and expected. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it.
I mean, the whole like. So we'll go back to the very first thing. The very first image that posts of this is like an Instagram post or a social media post of that initial like almost oil looking, you know, spill with like the weird random mask, like the leather face mask. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Okay. Awful. Mm-hmm. That's the initial thing that we see. That's the first thing I see. And I'm like, okay, after the last two that they've made, even really ever since like anything after Leatherface or... I should... No, I'm sorry. The remake. The initial, like, two remakes were, like, cool. That first remake was awesome. I absolutely love that.
Was that the one with Jessica Biel?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. That was good.
So sick. So, they released that image, you know, just kind of putting out the feelers, and it looks absolutely terrible. And then all of a sudden, not too long after, they put out that it's direct to, it's going to be a Netflix movie. And I'm like, this is going to be awful. I don't know why I'm even going to try and get into this, you know, but I do love my man Leatherface, and, you know, I'd like to see where this goes. And then they come out with saying that it's going to be the whole aspect of, like, the fucking Michael Myers and Laurie Strode, and it's one last epic battle, and it's this, and I'm just like, okay, this is, it's just a stockpile of everything that I'm going to hate. So it comes to release day, and I'm super soaked. I get out of work, fucking pop it on, and from the moment that it starts, everything just... Honestly, the action, the sequence, the whole part that you have, like, the accident that happens, and he's kind of peering around the corner, and everything, you know, that happens in the back of the police van and shit, like, it just sold me. Like, it really brought me back to that first remake that I loved so much, and I was just like, holy shit, like, this might actually be fucking awesome. And then there was just like the whole thing with, I thought the whole Sally thing initially was going to be like so silly and, you know, I guess spoiler alert, but you know, they have like their little like fight or whatever. And, you know, she's sitting there and she's like built up all this and all of a sudden he's just like kills her in like one swift thing. Like it was just all this build up over all these years and fucking all of a sudden, you know, it like happens in seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Where I thought that was sick though. I guess, in, like, my own thought, is the fact of, like, this Sally character has spent all of this time since the 70s thinking every day, if she ever sees this motherfucker again, that she's going to fucking destroy him. Spends every waking moment, this character, you know, thinking about the time, the opportunity that I get, I will end him, I will ruin him, and she is literally fucking nothing to him. He doesn't think a thing of her.
Yeah.
She comes in front of him, and he's just like, who the fuck is this? Get out of my way. And knocks her over like a ragdoll. And so many people hated that because they expected this huge, you know, like, oh, it's going to be this awesome finale and it's going to be this epic battle. It's like, why the fuck would it? He's huge. She's just like, I mean, like, no disrespect to, you know, like her being a woman by any means. Like, mm-hmm. women can beat there's plenty of women I know who can beat the fuck out of me. But just the effect of, I thought that the way that it played out in the perspective of the fact of that she has spent so much time concentrating on ending this thing that has haunted her for her whole life, and the fact of that he didn't fucking think a thing of her and just was like, nah, get out of my way. It was just another fucking, like, notch on the belt. I was like, holy shit. And the part where the my dude is like coming out of the door and he's like walking and all of a sudden it shows his face and his face is like completely fucking split into his cheek and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Gross. Absolutely disgusting. I thought that was radical. The mask, that was something that was a big discussion that people hated. I thought was awesome because it was kind of like, you know, you had this character who, even though he's this sadistic killer and all this, like, actually found somebody who, you know, had taken him in and he loves and cherishes, and kind of getting into his psyche, his respect, you know, for her as after she died is, you know, to cut her face off and then wear that as he's going back into, like, getting his vengeance. You know, I was like, oh, shit. I mean, that's pretty dark, but I thought the mask looked cool. I thought that it was a lot better than what I was expecting it was going to be. And then another big thing was, like, this was the first time ever that a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie had a fucking chainsaw massacre in it. The bus
mm-hmm.
scene.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody hated. And people were like, oh, these woke kids and all this fucking bullshit. It's like, yeah, dude, those kids were annoying as fuck on purpose so that you were rooting for him to fucking obliterate them. Which I did. And mm-hmm. it was great. Like, I hated the kid. I didn't want the fucking kids in there anymore. And Leatherface took care of it. I'm like, you know what, dude? Round of applause, my man. Like, god damn it. You know, I poured out a little bit of my 40 out on the fucking ground that night just to, you know, respect. You know what I'm saying? So.
You know, I will say, your point on the Sally element of her, the way she died, you know, I didn't think about it the way that you had just put that. And that will be a redeeming quality to this movie, in my opinion, because you're right. It everything, like, you're putting yourself into the mind frame of this woman, and all she wants is revenge and to end his life. And and you're right, he basically is, she's like a bug to him. He just squashes her and that's it, over and done. And that's a really interesting additional storyline into his psyche. But where I struggle with the story that they've written for him is if he's legitimately a sociopath, psychopath, he is not going to be able to have that emotional connection with that woman that took him in. I struggled to believe that. And I think they tried so hard in this movie to get you to resonate with him that they added this element that he has never had before. And I don't like that. I think that was where they one of the fails.
Okay. I can see that for sure. I mean, there is like definitely those things where, like I mentioned, you know, even the things that I was kind of like mentioning with it, it wasn't anything that was said on screen. It wasn't anything that was there. It was just kind of, you know, like my take from that. And I do see that, you know, you have a, you know, a pit bull, so to speak, that you've brought up and trained, even though it doesn't want to kill, you know, you've brought up and trained to fucking murder anything that it ever sees. And just one day it's like, ah, you're just going to lay down and be a pup and, you know, everything's going to be fine. You're not going to wear anybody's face again. It's like, probably not going to happen, but, you know, who knows? God works in mysterious ways, they say. I don't know who says that, but somebody did.
Somebody did say that. you know, I'm glad you brought up the mask because, you know, when I was watching it, I didn't like the aesthetic of the mask, but... like comparably, I should say, I really love the mask in the original. I think that's basically untouchable. But do you know the story of how that mask came to be in the original? It's actually really fucking twisted. And okay, so the director was friends with a medical student who was in medical, he was studying cadavers, and they were at a party, and a Halloween party, and so his friend had literally cut off the face of one of the cadavers and wore it. And at the party, he was like, oh my God, that is the face of Leatherface. That is what we need to do. And so actually looking at what the face is in this film is more accurate to where that origin started than to what it was in the original. His face would be what a cadaver would look like if somebody had literally just cut it off. Whereas the original, he's sewing pieces together, and it didn't have as much of a sense of realism. This one actually looks like a face that he has cut off, and it's not pretty. It doesn't look like a mask. It literally looks like a small face.
Yeah. You know, that was something where, like, and I can't completely credit, you know, the director. I think it's David Blue Garcia. I can't say it's fully him, but... there was just something with this movie to me, and this is being, I mean, the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I watched, I don't know, I might have been a teenager, made me physically sick. Like, this movie, I mean, has meant a lot to me ever since that first time of, like, being absolutely fucked up from it. But I have always loved, so, like, that. I guess these movies have always been on my radar, you know, as far as, like, wanting to give it, you know, a decent shot. But that initial first remake that came out with Jessica Biel, awesome. I absolutely love that movie. The ones that were after that, it was, you know, tough to try. And you had the one where my girl's talking about go get him cuz or whatever. And I was just like, fuck my life. What is happening, dude? Like, you want to talk about a fucking pit bull and then you're sitting here cheering on your cousin, like, kill me now.
Yeah.
But I felt like this movie was the first time since that first remake that... it was like a passion project. It was like people were behind this and wanted this to be a fucking cool, you know, good time. And honestly, I really felt like that. And I still love it. I'm waiting to get a physical copy of it. For 2022, that movie, for whatever reason, became like a comfort food. Like, I would get home and have, you know, like a snack or some shit like that, and, you know, be waiting on like the kids or whatever. And I would just toss it on while I was, like, paying bills or doing fucking whatever. I can't tell you. I probably watched that movie more than 10 times. It's insane.
Wow.
Absolutely insane. And I know it's insane. I mean, it's ridiculous to even say out loud, but I fucking loved that movie. I thought it was awesome.
We all have the movies that we watch. But just really quickly, I wanted to mention where my beef came in with this movie was I feel like two things. Half of the audience, or if not more than half of this audience, are going to be original, you know, Texas fans. So what to me they did was they took a story that's already been done and they just plopped it into a new setting. And they went for what they assumed would be crowd pleasers, you know, him running around with the chainsaw, even cutting her head off at the end. And then he did exactly the same thing. To me, it felt cheap. I wish that they had done their own version of that instead of literally taking those scenes and just making them newer. And so I feel like I didn't want to see him doing exactly the same thing. Plus, how old is this guy at this point? How is he still running the same speed? How is he still, like, he's going to be old and slow. Like, it just.
It looked like there was some clicking of the knees. You know, I couldn't quite hear the ADR, but I thought, you know, I was like, my man's up there, you know, for, no, no, I do remember, I remember that being like a bigger thing. And, I wish I would have written down how old he would have been, just as far as like, maybe even to have, you know, a surprise guest come in that was that same age and be like, yo, how fast can you run a mile? You know, just to.
They should have done that.
See, you know?
Well, I mean, this movie came out 40 years ago, and if we had to guess, he was maybe 20. So he's at least 60 something. There's no way that a 60-year-old man who's obviously only active as he's running after people with the chainsaw is able to keep up at that. Like, he's chasing after a moving vehicle. I don't buy it. And I feel like if they had brought in a little bit more of that realism to fit the age of people that were fans of the original, then it might have landed a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that. You know, it also almost like out of my stubbornness turns into an inspiration for like when I'm 60 to fucking run after a Tesla. You know what I'm saying? Like I've got 30 some years.
Leatherface goals.
I just plan out my whole fucking future on trying to defend any aspect of this movie that I can.
That's awesome.
God damn it.
So you think this deserved higher rating than it got?
I don't know what the rating is.
31% on Rotten Tomatoes.
What was the IMDb? I guess I was...
4.7.
Whoa! No way, dude. That's way off. Way off. I would flip it around.
Ooh.
I'm telling you, dude. I you know, and like, here's my thing though, is I can't be completely fake with something and act like it's a 10 out of 10. You know, even my favorite movie, like, you know, I get into like Jaws and I get into Halloween and The Thing, you know, but then one of my other, you know, favorites of all time is Maximum Overdrive. And that movie is littered with fucking ridiculous shit. Like, there's so much to that movie that is stupid. Straight up stupid. But it's why I love it. Hobgoblins. That movie is probably literally a fucking 1 point negative something. But I love it because it's so fucking stupid. Like, there's just a little bit of that in my heart at all times, I think, and it'll never go away.
I get it. I mean, cheesy horror action in a different time era, for sure. You know, Frankenhooker is awesome. Like, The Reanimator, all of those things, right?
Yes.
But they don't really embrace that anymore. And it's a bit of a shame.
Yeah, you know, there's, I guess, there's different things that have been coming out that I do appreciate still. I don't know, like, are there newer movies that have jumped out to you that in particular that you love
in that genre or just in general,
just in horror?
I'm a huge Jordan Peele fan, huge. Okay. And I love all of his movies. I love Nope.
You loved Nope?
Loved Nope. Okay. Ooh, do I sense another podcast episode coming up?
I mean, look, Get Out was amazing. That probably has a huge score, and I could say deserves higher. That was awesome. Us, deserves a higher score than whatever the fuck it is. I know for sure. That was a movie that had my wife and I both, like, well after it ended, we're sitting here talking about, like, yo, oh, so the rabbits fucking mean this. And, oh, remember that one time when there was back then? There's just so many details, you know, where, like, we would, like, go back and Jordan Peele is sick. Mm-hmm. Nope. I didn't love it.
No.
No. I am such a fan of aliens of any sort. The moment that they're in the fucking barn and...
That was... Oh, I love that scene. Well,
what No, that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to agree. That was creepy as shit. I mean, I'm telling you, like, literally, even right now, goosebumps thinking of, like, that moment, like, when you're initially like, oh, fuck, what is that? You know, like, thinking that's it. And then it wasn't. You know, that was where I was just like, oh, what is this thing? You got this... goddamn fucking kite up here? What is happening here? Like, I'm not afraid of that.
Kite. What's going on? We definitely need to have an episode where we talk about this movie. Because we could get into the layers of that particular movie in itself. But,
yeah. Honestly, those three movies, like, I would gladly go back and rewatch just to get, you know, better details on it. But nope, for sure. My wife and I have been talking about, you know, going back and watching that again, and I do have to go back and watch it because there's a lot that I did love in it, and I love his stuff so much that I think maybe it was kind of like an Ari Aster situation where Midsommar came out, and after Hereditary, you know, I was just like, what was that? But, you know, then, you know, like Midsommar, actually, I might like just as much as Hereditary now, you know, so it's definitely grown on me. I just might need to go back and watch Nope again for sure. But one thing is for sure is that House of the Dead, I will not fucking go back and rewatch.
No, that's not one that we should ever recommend to anybody. Yeah. Though, not you realize happen. The more we tell people don't watch this, they're going to want to.
It's going
to
happen.
Yep. 100%.
Yep. Fear.com, I would say totally do. I hope Scream Factory puts it out on Blu-ray because I would love to have some sick cover art on a slip box for that. That would be radical.
The cover art of that is awesome. Yes,
it is. It's so sick. I almost wish that there was like more use of that character, like whatever that was. There's still a lot of questions with that, you know, movie that I kind of have gone back and I'm like, I have to rewatch it again. It's on Tubi too. So like that rocked. I didn't have to, you know, pay for it and try to fucking splurge it all in a day or some shit. But, and then Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I'm glad that we both agreed, is fucking awesome and one of the best movies of the last 5 years.
Right.
It's great to have like minds. No, I appreciate that, though. And I do understand for whatever reason, it just really, really resonated and you know, pulled me in. So, but I love that, you know, it didn't do the same for you. I think that's what's, you know, that's what's... important and fun in general is just people, all different likes, all different, you know, looks, anything, you know, just getting together and talking about silly shit like horror movies. It's a beautiful thing.
100%. Well, thank you so much for joining me today and
absolutely
anytime. having fun watching and talking about three very low rated horror movies.
Yeah, two of them that don't deserve it, but yeah, House of the Dead.
You're right.